Thank you for coming. I appreciate you, everybody getting on with these verses. Track them out. Track them out on the back of your card. Once you learn them, once you get through your 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, or whatever it takes for you to do that, keep running them out. Keep tracking them out once a day for 45 days, once a week for 7 weeks, and once a month thereafter. Keep track of it on the back of the card so you have those. Otherwise, they can tend to slip, can't they? They can tend to slip. Let's turn with to our questions. Open to our questions. Question one. Who'd like to do question one? I'm sorry. Sit again. We are on lesson five. My sin against God. Ma'am? I'm sorry, Amy. God. Our sin is against who? It's against God. David acknowledged that there. Our sin is against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Our sin is against God. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. How is it possible to receive cleansing from our sin? Kelly. What was the first thing? Okay. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Excellent. And then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Excellent. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Explain how the first commandment is broken every time any of the other commandments are broken. Kelly. Okay. And the first commandment is, everybody, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Wait a minute. Did I do something wrong? I'm sorry. It gets crowded up there. I'm sorry. Let's do it again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that is Exodus 20 and verse 3. Exodus 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, anything that comes between us and the Lord, anything that becomes more important to us than God becomes a god, a little g god to us. And we are to have no other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, excellent. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. What is Isaiah's reaction when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in his holiness? Anybody? When he saw how the Lord truly was, he says in verse 5, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Brother, do you have a book? That one's not, there's no name in the front of that, is there? Okay. Okay, verse 5, then said I, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Ephesians 6, 10 through 9, 19, I'm sorry. Lists the whole armor of God. Verse 14, you don't have to give me them all. You can give me a couple at a time or one or two at a time. Okay. Having our loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Excellent. And the shield of faith. Excellent. Okay. Very good. What truth given in Hebrews 4:13 helps us to understand that we need God to reveal our sin to us and give us cleansing? What'd you guys get for this one? Curious. Because he sees all things. Okay, that's what I got. Anybody have anything else? All things are open to God, aren't they? Psalm 139, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is always there. He's always there to see our righteousness, isn't he? And he's also always there to see our sin, isn't he? That which breaks fellowship between us and God. Very good. I hope you're enjoying the lesson. I hope it's a blessing to you. Each week as you go to do your lesson, there's reading up here. The questions do some of that reading. There is also other reading. Make sure you do that throughout the week as we continue to prepare for the battle. As Brother Roloff said, it's a battlefield, brother. So we've got to be ready with God's word for us personally and as we influence those around us. Had an opportunity this week to talk to a guy at work. You hear many people used to love God, used to serve God, used to at least be in church faithfully, read God's word, and then they fall out, and then they raise children. And I said to the guy, man, you got three little girls. I saw a picture of his little girls there. I says, you need to have them in church. You can't. I says, you know, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Well, yeah, I have. I said, but how are your girls going to know? How can you not take them? We need God's word. We need God's word to help us. To help us have the strength to be a witness to those around us. To make a difference. To make a difference in our own lives. That we would honor the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 4. Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. David here in Psalm 51, knowing that the sin that he had committed, the righteous judge of all the earth had seen it with his own eyes. The judge had seen it. Not only had David seen it and knew it, but the judge that would judge him had seen it. And David's realization that indeed punishment and judgment were to come was in total agreement with God. Was in total agreement there. It's not like there was going to be any trial and he might not be guilty. He was guilty, he knew it. The righteous judge saw it and he knew it. And David agreed truly that that whatever would be done to him, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. It would be very clear and it would be right. It would be right. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. As Kelly answered the one question, anything that we put before God, anything that comes between us and God becomes a God to us. Whether we eat too much, whatever, anything that comes between us and God can become a God to us. Following along in our lesson, All of us know that it's easier to confess other people's sin than to confess our own. It's easier to see other people's sins than to see our own. Sometimes our own sins can be very hard to see. We can only see them through God's Word and asking God's Holy Spirit to open our understanding. It can be very hard to see our own sin. We must deal with our sin, which is against God. Psalm 51, as we've come to know it, as the sinner's guide back to God, or as the cover of our book says, the way back to God. The way back to God. You know, it seems like the closer we walk with the Lord, the more our sin becomes clear to us. You ever notice that? You know, you think, man, Lord, it seems like I'm doing better now than I ever have. I'm praying more. I'm memorizing more. I'm doing all this more. And I'm thinking my sin seems greater than it's ever seemed. Seems greater than it's ever seemed. Wow. Imagine if you walked with God like Enoch and you got so close to God that you just saw what God was. I don't think as a human being that we would be able to stand. I think we'd just die if we ever saw God and comprehended Him as what He is, the Holy God, the thrice Holy God. David here is sin before a Holy God, not worried so much about the consequences, although he was certainly concerned for the child. But what he was concerned about is the man after God's own heart that he had broken the Lord. He'd broken fellowship with the Lord, that he had sinned. David declared, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Attempting to justify sin is an attempt to remove our accountability to God. In our court systems today, you can say, well, my dad abused me all my life, and therefore I abuse other people. And you can get away with a plea like that. You can't do that with God. You're accountable for your sin. I'm accountable for my sin. I can't say, well, you know, Kelly mistreated me the other day and I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to that church anymore or whatever. Whatever. No, we are accountable before a holy God. We are accountable. And attempting to justify our sin is an attempt to remove our accountability before a righteous and holy God. Because our sin is always against God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God because of their sin. Sin entered into the bloodstream of all humanity. Since the moment of their sin, human beings have been born into this world, have been stillborn spiritually. Born dead. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's that sin. There's that death that it's talking about there. The being stillborn, being born dead. We are born dead. Kelly, would you go to Ephesians 2, 1? Somebody else go to 1 John 1, 7. Would you show me your hand? That was close. She adjusted her hair. 1 John 1, 7. Would somebody turn there for me also, please? Dan Priori. Okay, just those two verses. Kelly, Ephesians 2, 1. And you have the quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, made alive, quickened to make alive those that were dead. Every prohibition God has made is a clear command, like a wall or a partition that He builds to protect us. Once we barge through and go beyond that partition, we are no longer protected. The only help we have is in the blood of Jesus Christ. which cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Excellent. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin is against God. Psalm 51:4, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Sin is such a serious matter because it's against God. Our sin is serious. It's serious. It's a serious matter when we sin. We understand from Scripture that we can sin against our own bodies and against others, but it all begins with our sin against our God. That's where it all begins, with our sin against God. And David recognized that. Exodus, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then it goes through the Ten Commandments. Verse 4, second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Verse 7 is the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Again, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Before David ever broke the commandments of coveting, stealing, adultery, lying, he broke the first commandment. There was something more important to him that day on his rooftop than his walk with the Lord. There was something more important. His personal desires, his personal lusts. An example for us. An example for us. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit. As Pastor Seth said, if we, this morning he said something about if we, what was it he said there, if we make a note to do something. Anybody catch that this morning? He said that? If you purpose in the morning, I don't remember what he was talking about, but it's a conscious effort. It's a conscious effort. We don't get up and walk with the Lord unless it's a conscious effort on our part. All sin is against God. Before David ever walked onto his balcony and looked down off the rooftop, saw a woman bathing and lusted after her, something happened. Something happened in his heart. And something was wrong in his walk with God. That is what will happen to all of us. If we guard our heart and our personal walk with God, sin can't enter in. But it's when we just get up and we just doing the things that we have to do for the day, and we don't take even just a few brief moments for God's word, for prayer, that we wind up walking in the flesh and then in sin. The clearer our vision of God, the more sensitive we will be to sin. The clearer our vision of God, the more sensitive we will be to sin. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. long book. Isaiah 6:1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, here's Isaiah talking here, then said I, woe is me. When Isaiah saw thrice holy God and realized more real in his life about a thrice holy God, he said, woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Isaiah's sin here is purged. And then verse 8, the verse we've heard many times throughout the years, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Hopefully today that is our heart cry. Lord, here am I. Send me. To do whatever you want me to do. To be whatever you want me to be. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He prepared a way for us when we go the wrong way. He prepared a way back to God. In Isaiah here, here am I, send me. The remedy for sin is not simply to become busy. Follow with me in your lesson, these next two sentences. The realization of our sin comes when we get a clearer vision of God. And the clearer our vision of God, the more sensitive we become to our own sinfulness. The closer you and I walk with God, the more we are aware of our sinfulness. When you stand me next to a thrice holy God, my sin is very clear. It's very clear. When you stand me next to somebody else walking in the flesh, and we're both walking in the flesh that day, it isn't quite so clear. But when the target is a thrice holy God, our sin becomes very clear to us. When we begin to neglect our personal walk with God, hurry becomes the scourge of our lives. When we do not have time for the Lord because we are too busy, we are dangerously near to wrecking and ruining our lives and the lives of those around us. The Lord must be high and exalted and lifted up in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only sinless one. In our sinfulness, where do we go? Sinners cannot cleanse other sinners from their sinful condition. If the blind lead the blind, where are they going to be? They're going to wind up in a ditch somewhere, aren't they? We've got to have someone that's different. We're all in the same condition. We need a sinless one. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because he is a sinless one. Because he... God took the form of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God came to earth, took upon himself the form of a man, and he walked the same life that he's asking you and I to walk. He's not asking you to do something that he's not already done. Was tempted in all points like as we are. That is who we have in the Lord. I'm sorry. That is who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. David knew where he could go for cleansing. He could go to the Lord and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. A week ago, I believe it was, Pastor preached a message, and at the end of the message he said, if you don't remember anything else today about my message, anybody remember him saying that? You remember that? I wrote that verse down. I thought, okay, Pastor, I'll get this one. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We've got a high priest that we can touch with our hands. And he's right now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and I. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. God is there, waiting. Again, the prodigal son. Again, Luke 15:20. And what did it take? What did it take him to do? He realized, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Our Heavenly Father, the way back to God, it's an easy path. We look to the Lord, we realize our sin, we turn to the Lord. Through His Spirit, through the reading of His Word, through the hearing of His Word, through the studying of His Word, and through the memorizing of His Word, is where you and I have victorious Christian living. The power is right here. The Holy Spirit, God the Son, walked on earth, the Word made flesh, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The way back to God, the hardest thing to do, the hardest thing for that boy to do when he was out there was realize, man, this was a bad plan I had. This is not going good. And realize he needed to turn to God. The way back to God, it's easy. It's easy. The Lord's made the way. He's made it plain and clear. All we have to do is turn. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that no matter where we are in our lives, we can turn to you at any point, and you'll be there with the love, with the open arms, with the welcoming back, with the fatted calf, with the rings and the and the robe. The way back to God, is it hard for us? It's humbling. But you've made it clear and you've made it plain. Lord, help us not to be afraid to turn to you when we find ourselves going down the wrong path. Lord, help us to take this truth and help those that we come in contact with. As we spoke with the guy this week at work and said, here's what the path is. And we're able to relate this to them. Lord, help us to take your word and help it to have an impact on those around us. Pray for our pastor right now again. Pray for the upcoming service. In Jesus' name, amen.